Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. And when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Current Events Edition as of September 29th, 2023. Well, it's just me for the introduction, but we're going to be catching up with Ken and bringing you the current events from the Disneyland Resort coming up soon. But I have a couple things I wanted to talk about real quick. We have books out called Cleaning the Kingdom. You can get both of those volumes. We have two different editions, volumes, I guess you could call it. And you can get those on our website signed by both of us at thesweetspot.com, or you can get them on Amazon, not signed. Or you can get digital copies at Kindle and wherever digital books are found. You can also get the audiobooks on Audible and wherever audiobooks are found. And we also have, if you'd like a way to help support the show, and we truly appreciate it. If you can't, we totally understand too. But if you want some of these cool perks, you can join Patreon. For $5 or more a month, you can get one bonus episode delivered to you that Ken and I record specifically for the current events. And then for the current events, for the bonus show for the Patreons. And then also, we do one, like a live, when we record our current events, we do it live, and we do that once a month, and you can join in the chat room, and it's a lot of fun. You know, everyone seems to, well, and we'll put in some of your comments to the different stories we talk about, and everyone in there seems to have a really good time. We do that like on Friday nights, about 8 Pacific time, so not every Friday, but I'll usually send out an invitation with a link maybe like a week before, and then I'll remind you again like the day of. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. So even if you can only give $1, that it truly does help us. We really appreciate it. Anything else? Not that I can think of, but I think we need to get right into current events. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Eric over at Concierge.
Hello everyone, this is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in! We start our adventure this week in Walt Disney World, where my favorite mode of transportation is expanding another step back to its former glory. The Blue Route connecting the Contemporary Resort, the Wilderness Lodge, and the Fort Wilderness Campground via water reopens on October 1st. This isn't the most exciting update for all guests, but I did say it's my favorite Walt Disney World mode of transport. Much is made of the treats at the Oogie Boogie Bash and Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween parties, but there are plenty of other treats scattered around the rest of the resort hotels and the other three theme parks at Walt Disney World. All through the month of October, look for unique and tasty cookies, candies, and cakes no matter where you're spending your day. Try Disney's Hollywood Studios for one. A meal at Woody's Lunchbox wouldn't be complete without a pastry tart packed with pumpkin pie filling. And if you don't care for the candy corn garnish, just, I don't know, pick them off. Milk chocolate tarts with orange curd, snickerdoodle cookies with pumpkin spice, and fudge cupcakes topped with a cookie tombstone sound like a rich way to spend an afternoon. Wash one of those fellas down with some frozen apple cider, with or without alcohol, to keep you going on those warm October Florida days. You may trip up on a lion-in-waiting at Restaurantosaurus and Pizzafari in Disney's Animal Kingdom. The Scar Cupcakes feature that sly lion emerging from flames of white chocolate atop a blood-red velvet cupcake with toasted marshmallow filling. A visit to Epcot could net you a chocolate waffle with icing at the Connections Cafe, or maybe a white chocolate mousse in a decidedly batty costume, complete with wings at Sunshine Seasons. I suppose there's some sort of big festival happening there now, but these new holiday additions sound like they're worth the trip too. Let's visit a few different hotel resorts to round out our tour of sugary delight. Anybody visiting the Magic Kingdom can hop a monorail, or a boat, or just walk, to the Contemporary Resort for their Haunted Mansion Eclair. Caramel apple mousse filling, chocolate caramel ganache, edible print of the Haunted Mansion wallpaper on top. It looks good and probably tastes great. The resort on the other side of the lagoon also wants to show off with several treats. For an overload of cute, try the cake pop dipped in green chocolate made to look like Mike Wazowski. A graham cracker tart shell might not be too spooky overall, but fill it with chocolate mousse and top it with a swirl of toasted marshmallow sculpted to look like a ghost, and you're on to something here. The Grand Floridian also features a beautiful-looking chocolate cauldron filled with apple spice cake and topped with apple mousse in the shape of a shiny, not-so-poisoned apple. I suppose we could hit that middle resort, too. The Pineapple Lanai at the Polynesian is changing out one of their Dole Whip offerings for something a bit more seasonal. I feel like I am in for basking on the beach with a pumpkin spice soft serve. Call me basic if you want, but apparently Colorado consumes more pumpkin spice than any other state. For the purposes of this ad break, you probably need to know that I live in Colorado. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Consi Ears. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Consi Ears, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Ventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you, we just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport. Any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, do you have anything for us?
Oh, Lynn, a tree grows in Brooklyn, actually in Anaheim. Disneyland's Adventureland Treehouse, the return of a classic. There's a story over at micechat.com from Samantha Davis Friedman that takes an overview of the treehouse in Adventureland. you know, we recently did an episode of the podcast that kind of gives people an overview of Disneyland history in case they're new to it. And this is a good one to click through and read if you're not familiar with the history of the treehouse at Disneyland, because it kind of gives you an overview. As it says here, Disney's Swiss Family Robinson, described by Walt Disney as one of the greatest adventure stories of all time, premiered December 21st, 1960. And on November 18th, 1962, a recreation, or I should say, English is so funny, a recreation of the family's rustic island home took root as the Swiss Family Treehouse attraction at Disneyland. Since then, three additional treehouses sprouted up on October 1st, 1971 at Walt Disney World, April 12th, 1992 at Disneyland Paris, and July 21st, 1993 at Tokyo Disneyland. It's kind of interesting. Tokyo's got theirs after Disneyland Paris. In June 1999, Disneyland's walkthrough attraction was reimagined as Tarzan's Treehouse, which closed in April 2022 to make way for a new Adventureland Treehouse, which will once again be inspired by Swiss Family Robinson when it opens later this fall. I have a feeling it's going to be inspired by a bunch of different things, but as we anxiously await the debut of the reimagined treehouse, let's look at how Imagineers took inspiration from the original 1962 attraction, as well as the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, that's SEA. And since the treehouse at Walt Disney World is still themed to Swiss Family Robinson, we'll take a spin around that attraction as well. So as always, all these stories are going to be the current events section of our website, thesweepspot.com. So you can click through and get everything and see everything. What do you think, Lynn?
I think it's interesting. They haven't put a date out there yet as far as opening, but I think they do that to stay safe, because they probably too many times have they put a date out and then they weren't able to live up to that. But
it's to the point where you think maybe they're not going to set a date unless they're absolutely sure it's going to be ready before then, and then you set a date so that you can, you know, get everybody excited about it.
Fall, so I think winter starts
so December. It's got to be by December 21st or either 22nd, December 20th, 21st, 22nd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if they're going by the actual meteorological definition of fall, it's going to be sometime before then. Uh-huh. But maybe they're, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll change. But, you know, I really thought that one of the things they could have done with it, and I guess I'm glad they're not, because it's going to be accessible to guests.
Splash Mountain.
Is they could have built a dream suite, you know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I would imagine there's a lot of people who would have liked to have stayed in the tree overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, but anyway, maybe sometime in the future they'll do that. I don't know, but it's going to be nice when it finally opens. I'm sure we'll get all kinds of coverage and photographs and videos of all the little details. And it's been taking a while.
It has. It's it'll be good to have it back. All right. So this next story is from it's on the OC Register, and Brady McDonald brings it to us. It's Disneyland closes parts of Mickey's Toontown again to fix persistent problems. Centennial Park remains closed through October 22nd for a long month refurbishment, and Goofy's How to Play Yard will close October 23rd for additional work. The recently refreshed Mickey's Toontown that reopened in March at the Anaheim theme park, has undergone a series of tune-ups and touch-ups in the ensuing months to address issues with everything from artificial turf, rubber flooring, to playground equipment and water features. Disneyland temporarily closed a few areas, Mickey's Toontown, on a rolling basis in June and July for maintenance work. Some of these areas are once again behind construction walls for second round of fixes. The Centennial Park would include adjusting the soft surface around the Dreaming Tree, repairing a leak under the Mickey. Those fountains up in Toontown have always leaked. Remember the other?
Yeah. Yep. So they're gonna find. Do you think they're finally gonna fix those?
I don't know. This is a totally different. They tore out those ones. Okay. We'll continue here.
Yeah.
The repairing a leak under Mickey and Minnie's fountain and replacing a section of artificial turf with brick pavers, according to Disneyland officials.
Boy.
Pavers. Yeah. Play elements will be added and repaired in Goofy's How to Play Yard, according to Disneyland officials. Donald Duck's water play area has yet to open. Teeter Totters and Colorful Birdhouse have been removed from Goofy's play yard. Visitor traffic patterns over a section of turf between the Mickey and Minnie's fountain and Walt's Dreaming Tree are forcing them to install pavers as a replacement. So
is this surprising anybody?
It was a good idea to put that turf in because it looked cool, and it was, but I think a lot of people also saw that and went, oh, there's gonna be a lot of wear and tear, and you know, the guests are hard on things.
I mean, think about it. You've got thousands and thousands of people every single day walking over that. I remember a trip to Walt Disney Imagineering, and we went into one room, and there was a machine that was repetitively stretching and releasing what looked like a piece of flesh. And it was a pound of flesh. Now, it was what it was doing was it was doing quality testing on the skin for an animatronic. And so just over and over again, it was stretching and releasing the skin to simulate all the movements it would have to endure while being part of the show. And so they test their presumably, unless they've stopped, they test their materials out. And I'm sure there's a vendor providing the turf or whatever, and making claims, and I'm sure it's been tested. But sometimes you can do all the testing you want, and then when it just gets down to daily operation inside the field, park, it becomes a different story. So,
yeah.
I mean, what do you think about it?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just think they, I think they knew what they were getting into. I think they were kind of in hopes that it would work out a little better, so they're just having to go back, and I hope they get it. It's busy in the parks now. Halloween season is always pretty busy, but it's going to get even busier, I think, once the Christmas season, November 10th, starts.
It's probably going to be busy from here until sometime in January, right?
Probably mid-January.
Toontown is really seen a lot of changes over the years. And when it first opened, it had Donald's boat had at least one slide in it. There was Chip and Dale's treehouse, which had one or two slides coming out of it. Went up some stairs and you came down some slides. And then, of course, there was Goofy. The inside of Goofy's house was a bounce house.
Yeah.
And all of those things went away. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll probably still keep changing. It's interesting that it didn't fully open this renovation. Not everything that they installed and were planning to open has done so. So I don't know. It's a work in progress, I guess.
Yeah. They kind of do that a lot in areas now, you know, Galaxy's Edge and then Avengers Campus, and things kind of open in stages, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, when Toontown first opened, they held off on opening the Roger Rabbit attraction for a year.
Right.
You know, which allowed people to get in there and become familiar with the other parts of Toontown and mm-hmm. not focus on, well, let's go over to the dark ride. You know, that's, you know. Well, all of this takes money, folks. It takes money. And as Brady McDonald reported at the Orange County Register, as the headline says, Disney doubles theme park investment to $60 billion over the next decade. Okay, so what it says here is the Disney Parks, Experiences, and Products Division will nearly double its investment in domestic and international theme parks and cruise ships. The company announced on Tuesday, September 19th, during a conference with the Wall Street analysts and investors at Walt Disney World in Florida. So they're kind of giving the investors a heads up. It's kind of a disclosure about, you know, what their plans are. And further down in the story, it points out Disney will explore, this is a quote coming from the press release, Disney will explore even more characters and franchises, including some that haven't been leveraged extensively to date. Leveraged, that's one of those corporate speak words. Leveraged extensively to date as it embarks on a new period of significant growth domestically and internationally in its parks and resorts, according to a Disney press release. While 100 million people a year visit Disney theme parks around the world, Disney's internal research shows that there are 700 million more with a quote-unquote high Disney affinity. Wow. Who have not yet visited a Disney theme park. So in their estimations, there's 700 million people out there who really like something Disney, but they haven't been to the parks. So
they're not close enough, maybe.
Not close enough. Maybe they can't afford it. Or maybe they think they can't afford it. They need to call you, Lynn. they need to call you and book a trip with you. Yeah, what do you think about this?
I think this money is, I think, like you were saying, it's distributed between a whole bunch of things, between the cruise ships and it's all over the world, you know. Well, the ones that Disney puts money into, so it could be Paris and Hong Kong and, you know, Disney World, Disneyland Resort, cruise ships.
Yeah.
So when you split all that up, it's not really as much as it sounds, I guess. There's still a lot, but
it sounds like a huge number, doesn't it? But mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. If I mean, first of all, they said over the next decade, so 60 billion. Okay, let's take 6 billion a year. You know, mm-hmm. but you're dividing it over. I mean, Disney has what, 12 theme parks now? So 12 major theme parks. I'm not counting the water parks, you know.
Right.
But you have 12 major theme parks and you have the cruise ships and they're building, you know, they took awesome. Over that one cruise ship and they're transforming it because it wasn't originally going to be a Disney cruise ship, but now mm-hmm. it's going to be. And, you know, they've built so it sounds like a lot of money, but it takes a lot of money to do these things at, mm-hmm. you know, so it's really not as much as it sounds, even if you just split it just among the theme parks, it's like $500 million per park over 10 years. So it's 50 million. I mean, I don't know. You can like play with the numbers all.
Yeah.
You can play with the numbers all day, but that, yeah. So
I've seen on social media some people saying, wow, Disneyland's gonna get all this, you know, money, and but yeah, it's distributed between a lot of different divisions. But
well, there's Disneyland and California Adventure are just two of the 12 theme parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot out there.
They could put it towards a new Tomorrowland, right?
That would be nice. Great big beautiful tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. Move on to the next thing. This is from the OC Register, Brady McDonald again, from September 19th. It says, Disney teases Frozen, Black Panther, and Coco experiences for Disneyland. Disneyland may or may not be getting new themed lands, rides, or experiences based on Frozen, Black Panther, Coco, and Avatar as the Disney leadership continues to tease Blue Sky Concepts as tantalizing possibilities for Anaheim theme parks. Disney Parks Chairman Josh D'Amaro floated the possibility of new lands or attractions based on Frozen's Arendelle, Black Panther's Wakanda, and Coco's Santa Cecilia during an investors summit on Tuesday the 19th at Walt Disney World in Florida. So D'Amaro and Disney CEO Bob Iger have been teasing a lot of Blue Sky concepts lately as long-term possibilities for Disney theme parks that once would have been kept under wraps as carefully guarded secrets at Walt Disney Imagineering, which makes me think they don't really have anything in the works. But,
yeah.
Right? If they did, they went,
yeah.
What kind of presence will Frozen take at Disneyland or Disney California Adventure? Are Black Panther and Coco projects intended for Disneyland Resort or some other Disney theme park? Is Avatar experience a land, ride, or walkthrough attraction? The Frozen presence could be an Olaf slushy in Fantasyland. The Avatar experience might be a new churro flavor. The Black Panther teaser could be for character meet and greet in Avengers Campus, but it seems unlikely Disney would trot out Iger and D'Amaro for such announcements. There's likely one reason for all the pie in the sky possibilities floating over Anaheim: Disneyland Forward. So we talked about this in our bonus episode and last current events, but yeah, I think this is all connected, and I think they're just throwing out possibilities, and they've done this a lot lately. Remember at the last D23, they threw out all these different just comments, you know, like there could be something behind Thunder Mountain, you know, at Disney World, and you know, different things like that.
There's a lot of undefinitive, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room. There's a lot of this may happen. We could do this. You know,
right.
There's something evocative of Coco, you know, it's it's just, I think Brady McDonald's right. It's trying to get people excited for things like Disneyland Forward. And you know, who knows if Disney's fortunate, they could have a whole new franchise right around the corner that makes it big. And then everything shifts around to, you know, gee, we're going to build attractions based on that. You know, so because, you know, what's popular right now might not be popular 10 years from now. Now, I mean, my mindset is if they can build a compelling attraction, it shouldn't matter if the movie is no longer popular. You know, if the attraction is compelling on its own, it's like a perfect example is Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, you know. Corey and I, Corey's my wife. That could be Corey's all-time favorite attraction. And I really think it's really great stuff, even though I love Twilight Zone, which it replaced. I've never watched the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And I don't think Corey has either. And so what? We still enjoy that we don't just enjoy the thrill, the whole storyline works, and you know, they effectively communicate the story to the guests, and you enjoy the attraction, and there's a perfect example. It doesn't need to, the attraction should be enjoyable for people, even if they're completely unfamiliar with the characters or the story behind it, you know.
Well, that's the problem, right? When they lock in something that's to a property, then you're kind of locked in with that regardless. But something like Space Mountain or Thunder Mountain is, you know, that doesn't, it's not going to go out of style or the theming, you know.
All right. And those were not based on, they weren't directly based on any movies, you know. There's certain allude, like you can find certain props in the Thunder Mountain queue that were salvaged from some movies, but yeah. Those are good examples. Excellent examples.
Yeah. I mean, those were built in the 70s, and they're still two of the most popular attractions in the park. So you don't necessarily need to do that. I'm all for, you know, I mean, the park was based off in the very beginning off, you know, intellectual properties, right? I mean, that's what Walt had in Fantasyland.
The four, people say, oh, is the four popular movie genres at the time, adventure, westerns, you know, fantasy and sci-fi, you know, that's
right.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Walt even took a chance. He had so much confidence in Sleeping Beauty that he even named the castle Sleeping Beauty Castle before the movie had even come out. Right. But it doesn't really matter. Does it matter that it's Sleeping Beauty's or.
Right. Know,
and I think you knew that, but as long as you make it good. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think Brady might be, you know, with this. Oh, well, it could be, you know, the Avatar could be a churro. And I think he's I think he's trying to say, come on, can you give us something more, you know, he's trying to tweak them a little bit and say, come on, you know, give us something more concrete about what your plans are. You know,
it used to not be that way. Remember when they would announce something, they would have maybe not all the details, but they would have a concept drawing and they'd have, you know, some ideas. But this attraction they keep mentioning for Avengers Campus, you know, I had heard it's going to be a roller coaster, and now the concept for the ride vehicle, which had changed a couple of times now, the current one looks like it's going to be like a virtual, you know, like a Star Tours or whatever. It reminds me of the, I've never been on the Spider-Man ride at Universal, but right. I've been on the Transformers ride at Universal, and I heard that it's the similar thing where you drive up to a screen and then you're in a real, you know, what do you call it?
Like it's a mix of, environment, you're in an environment that has, you have screens, you have environment, you have, you know, a mix of aspects to it.
That's a guess. I don't know what it's going to be, but that's my guess.
Well, I'll have to see what they do with it, because, I mean, there's been things over the years, like, you know, you can find a wall map out there that says, oh, coming soon to Disneyland, you know, Liberty Square and Edison Square, or Liberty Street and Edison Square. And of course, those didn't happen, not in, you know, the location that they were talking about. Eventually, there was Liberty Square to Walt Disney World, and Edison Square kind of morphed into Carousel of Progress.
Right.
But there have been things announced in the past, and they just didn't happen. But I don't know, maybe life and technology move so fast now that they're just kind of wary about announcing things until they're actually ready to get the bulldozers out. I guess stay tuned, folks. Just keep listening to us, and we'll keep you up to date on all these things. Tradition time here. MiceChat.com reports Dusty Sage had a story. Walt Disney's tradition continues. Disneyland selects its 50th set of ambassadors. Now, we've had a former ambassador on the show.
Yeah.
That was Robin, right? So, yeah. You know, Mice Chatters, we're about to embark on a magical journey that spans 58 years of Disneyland history. Join me as we welcome the sparkling new Disneyland ambassadors for 2024 to 2025. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Jada Young and Raul Aquino Rojas. I was honored to be in attendance at the announcement ceremony and speak with the new ambassadors, as well as many previous ambassadors we've had the pleasure of working with at almost every Disneyland event over the years. Welcome, Disneyland's ambassadors for 24-25, selected from a sea of over 250 hopefuls. Jada and Raul join an elite club tracing its origins back to 1965, when the first Disney ambassador, Julie Ream Castellano, was handpicked by Walt Disney himself. The announcement of Jada and Raul was the 50th time the Disneyland Resort has selected ambassadors. The program has been so successful that every Disney resort now selects ambassadors to represent their properties and help spread the pixie dust around the world. So, what do you think, Lynn? You didn't make it this year.
Sounds good. I don't know too much about it, but it sounds good.
I was glad when we had Robin on the show to explain some of the things. Yeah. You know, as they say, it's the 50th time they've done this. They used to do it. They had one ambassador, and it was for a calendar year, I believe. Mm-hmm. They would say, oh, this is going to be our 1992 ambassador. And then they started, switching it up. They started saying, well, we're going to have more than one. You know, we'll have a team. We'll have two or three ambassadors. And sometimes they were serving for 18 months or whatever. So, and of course, they've done things like accompany like Mickey Mouse to hospitals or radio station visits or stuff like that. Because, of course, Mickey doesn't talk on those things. He preserves his voice for when he's recording cartoons. So the ambassadors would do the talking. You know, you have Mickey Mouse show up at a radio station and the listeners, you know, oh, Mickey Mouse is here. Well, okay. Well, they can't see him, but the ambassador can talk for him. So, yeah. And A Laughing Place covered that story as well. Of course, all of these are at thesweepspot.com. And you can click through and you see pictures. One thing I noticed about Raul is he has a beard, you know. I know there's a bunch of us old fogies who still haven't gotten used to cast members having the facial hair, but let alone a beard. But I mean, mustaches were one thing, but then they added the beards, and so we're still these old fogies. We're so ingrained in our old ways, you know. Yeah. But there's autobiographical information about them. And the quote from her is that I'm thrilled to be a Disney ambassador to represent our cast members across the resort and have the opportunity to show up as something bigger than myself. And he said, it's an honor to be part of the ongoing legacy of the Disneyland Resort and join the historic Disney Ambassador Program. So congratulations to them. Yeah. You think about it, technically you have more chance of winning the Super Bowl than you do of being a Disneyland ambassador, because there's 100 or so players there's 100 or so players playing the Super, you know, on the teams in the Super Bowl, but you know, only half of them win, but yeah. So wow, Disneyland ambassador.
Yeah. Yep. Glad they still do it. That's good.
Congratulations to them. Yes.
All right. Some exciting news here is from Laughing Place and from Mike Mack on the 18th of September. Says, photos and video Avengers Vault opens at Avengers Campus in Disney California Adventure. Avengers Assemble. Oh, I didn't say it right, did I? Avengers Assemble. Marvel fans can now find all kinds of merchandise in the newly opened Avengers Vault in Avengers Vault in Avengers Campus at Disney California Adventure. Click through for the sweetspot.com if you want to see pictures and video. So I imagine that this is, well, it's in the building that's supposed to be house an attraction someday, or the front of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think we talked last time because we do these updates every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think we talked last time about it, how it was coming. You know, they were about to open, and now they've opened. So yay, a new store.
And not too much to say about it, but that's it's another place if you're looking for Avengers merchandise.
Yes. All right. Well, the moment you've been waiting for, Lynn, is finally here. Mm-hmm. From the Orange County Register, Brady McDonald again. See Inside Disneyland, $6,000 a night, two-story DVC Grand Villa Suite. And as it says here, a night in the new Disney Vacation Club Grand Villa at the Disneyland Hotel that sleeps 12 on two levels stretching over more than 2,700 square feet will set you back $6,000 a night. But if you have to ask the price, then you're probably not the target audience. Disney offered media previews of the villas at the Disneyland Hotel on Thursday, September 28th, ahead of opening night of the new DVC wing at the Anaheim Theme Park Resort. The Disney Vacation Club bills itself as a more flexible alternative to timeshare properties, with members purchasing points to book their stays. DVC members can use their points in a variety of ways to book rooms at 16 DVC locations worldwide. They can save their points and splurge on a pricier vacation, spread them out to maximize their value, or buy more points if they need extra. DVC points can also be used for Disney cruises, Adventures by Disney travel, and even non-Disney hotels in places like Las Vegas and Paris. Rooms in the new Disney Vacation Club Tower can also be rented out for the night like any other Disney hotel room. DVC members get first dibs on the new Discovery Tower, but empty rooms can be booked by anybody, whether they're DVC members or not. The new Discovery Tower pool, gym, lobby, and soon-to-debut Palm Breeze Bar are open to any guest staying at the Disneyland Hotel, regardless if they're a DVC member or staying in the new tower. All of the rooms with Princess and the Frog, Fantasia, and Frozen themes add Disney storytelling touches, big and small, as a way to differentiate the new DVC villas from other Anaheim hotel rooms near the theme park resort. Character sketches line the walls and even hide in the closets. They've got Disney characters in the closet. Halfway wallpaper features silhouettes of popular, hallway wallpaper features silhouettes of popular Disney characters. Carpets beneath the beds are edged with Disney movie quotes. Layered film stills replicate the foreground, midground, and background of multi-plane camera images from the early days of Disney animation. All DVC rooms have a kitchenette that ranges in size depending on the room type. The eye-popping three-bedroom DVC Grand Villa Suite is intended to impress and didn't disappoint during the media preview. The 2,700 square foot grand villa and that sleeps 12 is bigger than the average single family new home by about 400 square feet, according to the U.S. Census. Further down in the story, it says the DVC Tower's largest suite is more than 10 times bigger than the smallest room, known as a duo, intended for two people. The 250 square foot duo rooms, 250 square feet, are a new addition to the DVC portfolio and are currently only available at the Disneyland Resort. Disney representatives showing off the new villas only allowed two people at a time into the Jungle Book themed duo room and resisted demonstrating the Murphy bed, a testament to the tight confines of the new timeshare resort's smallest room. The bedroom portion of the duo room was about the same size as the bathroom. The duo room was so small that it caused our tour members to wonder aloud where they would put their suitcases. The 340 square foot DVC deluxe room looks pretty much like a standard hotel room with a traditional bed along with a hideaway Murphy bed that folds away to create a living room space with a couch. The 754 square foot one bedroom and the 1,124 square foot two bedroom suites were decidedly less grand than the three bedroom DVC Grand Villa, but still provided much needed additional space for vacationers traveling with larger parties. The 344 new DVC rooms in the Discovery Tower represent a nearly sevenfold increase over the 50 DVC rooms in Disney's Grand Californian Hotel. Room rates for the DVC Villa Tower for walk-up guests on opening night ran $629 for the duo, $746 to $933 for the deluxe, depending on the view, $1,403 for a one-bedroom and $2,041 for a two-bedroom, according to a Disneyland hotel front desk clerk. They kind of made fun of how small the duo rooms are. But you know what? If I'm going to the Disneyland Resort on a vacation, all I need is a place to sleep. You know, ideally I'm not, if it's just me and one other person, or if it's just me, I mean, don't let my wife hear that, but no, I would take my wife, the kids, you're on your own. Sorry, kids. But that's all I need. I don't need a lot of room, because I'm not going, ideally I'm going to be spending little time in that room except to sleep, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be out and about at the resorts.
Well,
like, I mean, in the parks, I mean, you know. And
yeah. So
are you, you're going to get the Vacation Club Grand Villa, right?
I was thinking about that. yeah, that's per night. That's like, anyways.
Oh, that's just, you know, that's.
If you want to book this room, you can.
Yeah, always. If you're thinking about booking that, definitely give a call to Lynn. Now, granted, it's going to be available to club members first, but I'm sure they'll rent it out if you're not a club member and it's available.
Oh yeah, just for instance, I'm going to be staying at the, which one is it? The deluxe one in. I'm not going to say when. It's sometime between now and the end of the year. Wow. And we will, yeah. So I'll be there trying the rooms out, sacrificing it for our listeners.
That's right. suffering for the show.
That's right. It looks good. I like the outside. It looks really neat. It's nice to have four towers, you know, it kind of completes the everything there. It looks good.
Yeah.
The videos I've seen of the rooms look really nice and modern, kind of a retro modern. I don't know the names of all that, but It looks really cool.
It sounds like the hotel guests are getting some benefit anyway. I mean, because of the additional amenities. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a benefit for DVC members. It's plussing it for the Disneyland hotel guests as well. So that's good. And of course, if you're a DVC member, you have now one more option on where to go. And Laughing Place does cover that. Of course, MiceChat.com covered that. Dusty Sage did, and he says, explore the stunning new villas at the Disneyland Hotel. And as he wrote here, the brand new villas at the Disneyland Hotel, Disneyland's second vacation club property, officially opened to guests on September 28th. We checked in for an opening night stay and share photos and information below about the duo studios, the deluxe studios, the one-bedroom suites, the two-bedroom suites, and grand villas. Plus, we have gorgeous photos of the new pool in the lobby areas. This is a stunning hotel you are going to want to see for yourself. So we've included everything you need to know about booking and staying at, and what you need to know about Disneyland's striking new lodging. And like I say, go ahead and, you know, check with Lynn, let him, you know, if you're not a DVC member, but you still want to go see it, if there's availability, you can get it. Just have Lynn book that for you. okay. All right.
Nice. Okay. This is from the OC Register, Brady McDonald again, September 18th. Says, Disneyland closes Space Mountain for five-week overhaul during busy Halloween season.
Breaking news, Lynn. That's breaking news. Ooh. You know.
Just the title makes it sound like, shame on you, Disney, for doing it during this time. Yeah. You know, five-week overhaul during the busy season.
But it's not an indefinite closure now. So that's
no. Good. Yeah. Space Mountain will be closed from September 18th to October 25th for refurbishment at the Anaheim theme park, according to the Disneyland website. Halloween time is one of the busiest seasons of the year, with holiday decor, ride overlays, themed fireworks at Disneyland, and wildly popular Oogie Boogie Bash and Plaza de la Familia.
Plaza de Familia at DCA, yeah.
At Disney California Adventure. In past Halloween seasons, the Ghost Galaxy holiday overlay added video projections of spinning nebulas and a fiery space demon to pitch black indoor coaster. The fearsome intergalactic creature with the flaming skull head reaches out with the skeletal hands as riders race past in the dark.
Ooh.
But not this Halloween. Ghost Galaxy, well, they haven't had it. I don't know how in the last time they did Ghost Galaxy. I don't think it said, but I want to say it's been, well, because of the closures and all that, but I think it's probably been close to 4 or 5 years since they've done it. So they say this one, it won't be there, you know, but it's been a while, actually. It's not just this year. Disneyland crews will update Space Mountain systems that help prevent unexpected downtimes during the five-week refurbishment.
Huh. Well, breaking news, they're not going to have the Country Bear Vacation Special this year either, or the Christmas Vacation Special.
That's right.
of course, that's a little unfair because the bear venue is not there, but Space Mountain is there. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that this makes a newspaper. I mean, I'm glad they've ran. I'm glad they've increased their Disney coverage, because back in the day, there's no way this would have been a news article. You know, right, that they were going to have, unless they were doing some sort of major overhaul or addition to Space Mountain. Mm-hmm. But you know, we previously we didn't know the ending date for it. Lynn's about to give us more refurb info about that and other refurbishments. But I wanted to point out that there's MiceChat.com updates as usual for Disneyland. Dusty Sage had one on September 18th. It says, a great, big, beautiful tomorrow with three question marks. And it says, at long last, it's starting to feel like fall with cooler temperatures and gloomy skies. But this week also brought some exciting news about the future of the Disneyland Resort. The massive Disneyland Forward project reached a new milestone. And on top of that, the resort's newest hotel is just about to open. Of course, we already mentioned that. And a brand new store in Avengers Campus could open at any minute. However, there are also a few cost-cutting maneuvers that have us scratching our heads, including the end of the immensely popular Magic Happens Parade. We'll touch on all of that and more in today's Disneyland Update. So, yeah, if you click through, you know, these updates are loaded with pictures. You know, you might be sure you're somewhere where you're using, you're not using up like limited data or something. Another one from Dusty Sage came on the 25th, Bring It On or The Big Tease. And that was the update that started out with, you can count on unexpected events at Disneyland at any time. Last week brought the milestone announcement that they've taken another significant step forward toward a major resort expansion with Disneyland Forward. But this week's blockbuster news tops that: a massive increase in spending on Disney parks and resorts over the next 10 years, which could potentially double Disney's park business. And a big chunk of it will likely be spent right here at Disneyland. We have an abundance of exciting updates for you today from Disneyland. Join us to see what's new this week and to gain insights on what appears to be on the horizon. There's even a bit of good news about World of Color. So, like I always say, click through to see the whole thing if you want. Go to thesweepspot.com. It's under current events. We will have the links there. Thanks to Russell. Lynn, is there any rehab or refurb information?
There is. So let's look at it. As we said, Centennial Park is closed with no return date. Centennial
Park. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mark Twain is down and there's no return date. It's closed indefinitely.
closed indefinitely. Oh no.
As we said, Space Mountain is down. Returns on the Disneyland website, it says October 27th. I believe that the article I read said the 25th, but the 27th. And then the Golden Horseshoe is down and reopens back up October 3rd. So my guess is, you know, I've heard a few people say, oh no, what are they retheming it? You know, but it needs to be painted. It's an old building. It's been there since 1955, so it's, you know, it just probably needs some refreshing, some paint and things. It's a Small World, October 23rd. Closes and will be reopened November 10th. So just a couple weeks there to get it ready for the holiday overlay. Goofy's How to Play Yard, as we mentioned in the Toontown report, is going down October 23rd and will reopen November 10th. So you see November 10th a lot on here. That's the start of the holiday season. When I say holiday, I mean like Christmas, New Year's, you know, all those around there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last one. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail, November 1st and returns November 10th. So that's to take down from the Oogie Boogie Bash. There's like a trail over there that's themed for that event, and looks like it'll be going down the day after Halloween. All right. Not a whole lot. I mean, there's just the ones that we already know about, but that's all I have.
Well, you know, people want to stay up to date on the latest that's going on at Disneyland. That's what we cover every 2 weeks here. And then the other weeks we have what we call topical episodes. So we have a new episode every week. You can get in, learn a lot about Disneyland history and some of the things that were proposed and never built, and what it's like to work there by listening to those other episodes. And of course, subscribe to the podcast. That way you won't miss any episodes. So like us, follow us, do whatever you can to make sure you always get the episodes. Follow us on social media. You know, we have a Facebook group for the podcast, and we've got lots of wonderful items for sale with some really great graphic designs on them.
Oh yeah,
that you can get to through our website, and plus our books, of course, and at thesweepspot.com. So please spread the word. Also, you can write to us. Lynn, how would they write to us?
You can reach us at thesweepspot@gmail.com. So thesweepspot@gmail.com, not just sweepspot. So thesweepspot@gmail.com. Or you can go to any of the social medias that we're on, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, which is now what, X?
So X. It's not Y yet. It's just X. So
yeah, there's ways y to
eventually. I don't know.
Ways to message us on those.
There's ways to track us down. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, thank you so much for listening. Talk to you next time.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.